That you may start the meeting, and I will read my usual set of instructions once you're ready.
Very good. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Fish and Game Commission conference call, March 19th, 2014. We have one agenda item, actually two this morning. And before we get started, Sankey, you want to go around and find out how many members of the public are at each location? We have two members of the public and one member of Fish and Wildlife Department staff here in Monterey.
Right, and we have three speakers here, several publics. How's Arcata?
Sankey, we have three public participants and one Fish and Game. There's four. Okay, I'm sorry. Someone
All right.
else joined us.
How about Culver City?
In Culver City right now, we just have one volunteer from Fish and Wildlife. We had a couple here, but they did not like what was being covered on the agenda, so they left.
Okay. And Monterey? Monterey?
Sorry?
And who do you have at Monterey?
We have Deb Wilson Vandenberg of the Fish and Wildlife Department staff and...
I'm Moss Landing Harbor District.
Moss Landing Harbor District and...
Dick Thomas with the Coastside Fishing Club.
Great.
All right. So it sounds like we have a few folks to speak on salmon, and then we have at least a few folks on the public forum item. So
in Santa Barbara, we have one on the public forum item and probably two, although I don't know if they're going to be speakers on the salmon, and myself and Marcy Urimka.
Okay, so what I will do, Mr. President, if you like, I'll read the instructions for everybody so we can get organized and get going then.
Go ahead, please, Donkey.
All right, our goal today is informed decision-making. In that spirit, we need everyone to work together to make that happen. We're operating under the Bagley-Keene Open Meeting Act. Proceedings are being recorded. The amount of time for each agenda item may be adjusted based on time available to speakers. If you are part of a group and wish to cede time to a representative, please be aware that means you're giving up your right to speak on that agenda item so the representative may have additional time to speak. The president will determine how much additional time will be granted, typically no more than 5 minutes total, regardless of the number of folks needing time. The speaker card of a person wishing to cede time must be submitted with the representative's card. Please make sure to list the agenda item you wish to speak on the speaker card. So those of the public who wishes to speak today, please make sure to fill out a speaker card now and list the agenda item or items you wish to speak on and turn it into the appropriate person who's trying to organize the site. I will do a check at each location to see how many folks are there to speak on each item before we finish that item or the commission makes a decision. So I'll do that by location. I can't see you all. When you do speak, please state your name and any affiliation you have, if any. I will monitor your time and will ask you to wrap up when your time is about up. Please be respectful and disruptions from the audience will not be tolerated. I'll just hang up. See, there goes a bell. And time is precious, so please be concise. And with that, Mr. President, we can proceed with agenda item one.
Great, thank you. Go ahead.
All right. Agenda item one, discussion and possible adoption of proposed changes to April 2014 ocean salmon sport fishing regulations and possession limit, subsections 27.8 C and E. And with that, we have a presentation, oral presentation by Barry from the department. And you should have a copy of that presentation in each of the rooms for your use. Barry?
Okay, thank you. Good morning, President Sutton, members of the Commission. My name is Barry Miller. I'm with the Department's Ocean Salmon Project based in Santa Rosa. And today I'll be presenting the 2014 ocean salmon season regulations specifically for the month of April. Now, I'd like to remind you that as part of the normal season setting process, the Pacific Fishery Management Council adopted the April 2014 season in federal waters during their meeting in April of 2013. So with that, today is the first of two meetings to adopt the 2014 ocean salmon season in state waters. So we're only asking you to adopt the April portion of the season today, and the May through November season regulations will be presented to you at the April or the Commission's April meeting. Moving on to slide two, I'll give an outline of today's presentation. We'll start with an overview of the regulatory timeline. I'll discuss the escapement numbers for Sacramento River Falls Chinook and Klamath River Falls Chinook for 2013. We'll take a look at the conservation objectives for 2014. Then we'll go into the proposed April 2014 regulations in state waters. We'll review the ocean salmon possession limit regulations. We'll take a look at the range of alternatives for the May through November season. And finally, we'll just discuss the next steps in the ocean salmon regulatory cycle. Moving on to slide three, we'll take a look at the ocean salmon regulatory timeline. The upper section shows the Fish and Game Commission timeline, and the lower section shows the Fishery Management Council timeline. And for those of you that do not have access to my materials, the timeline begins in December of 2013 and ends in April of 2014. And the focus today is on March of 2014. And as I mentioned in my introduction, today's meeting is the first part of setting the 2014 ocean salmon fishing seasons in state waters. And so we're asking the commission to adopt only April season regulations today. Regarding the May through November season, the department began taking public comments at its annual salmon information meeting in late February. And with over 120 people in attendance, we did receive a lot of public testimony regarding the recreational season. Also, additional public comment was received at the Pacific Fishery Management Council meeting in Sacramento last week. And the proposed May through November season range of alternatives will be presented to you in a later slide. And the regulations for the final season from May through November will be presented to you at your April meeting. Moving on to slide four, here we're looking at the total spawning escapement for the Sacramento River Falls Chinook over the last 30 years. And here, escapement is defined as the sum of Sacramento River Falls Chinook that were not caught in ocean and inland fisheries and returned to their streams of origin or to Sacramento River Basin hatcheries. So the black portion of the bars represents the number of adults that returned, and the gray portion of the bars represents the number of jacks that returned. And just a reminder that the jacks are two-year-old fish and are of particular importance because the total jack escapement is used to forecast the abundance of age 3 through 5 Sacramento River Falls Chinook in the following year. So the adult escapement in 2013 was 404,666 Sacramento River Falls Chinook. And the jack escapement was 20,248 in 2013. Just below those figures, the adult escapement and jack escapement figures on your slide is a figure for the ocean abundance forecast for 2014. And the abundance forecast represents the total amount of Sacramento River Falls Chinook in the ocean as of September 1st, 2013. Does not represent the number of Sacramento River Falls Chinook expected to return this year, as some of these fish will die of natural causes or were already caught in ocean sport and commercial fisheries. So with that, the 2014 ocean abundance forecast for Sacramento River Falls Chinook is 634,650. So the takeaway from this slide is that the escapement exceeded federal conservation objectives, and the ocean abundance forecast will not limit fisheries in 2014. So moving on to slide five, we'll discuss the Klamath River Falls Chinook escapement over the last 30 years. Again, as with the Sacramento River Falls Chinook, escapement is defined here as those Klamath Falls Chinook that were not caught in ocean or inland fisheries and returned to their streams of origin or to hatcheries in the Klamath and Trinity River basins. Again, the black portion of the bars represents the number of adults that returned, and the gray portion of the bars represents the number of jacks that return. The adult escapement for 2013 was 165,125, and the jack escapement was 14,416. And as with the Sacramento River Falls Chinook, the abundance forecast for the Klamath River Falls Chinook represents the total amount of Klamath River Falls Chinook in the ocean as of September 1st, 2013. It doesn't represent the number of Klamath fall chinook expected to return this year, again, as some of those fish will die of natural causes or were already caught in ocean sport and commercial fisheries. So with that, the abundance forecast for 2014 is 299,282 chinook. And while the escapement exceeded conservation objectives, the ocean abundance forecast is much lower than last year. Last year it was approximately 728,000, and so the fact that it's a little bit lower will be a limiting factor in fisheries primarily along the north coast. Moving on to slide six, we'll discuss the 2014 conservation objectives as laid out in the Federal Salmon Fishery Management Plan. Starting with the Sacramento River Falls Chinook, the conservation objective requires an escapement goal of 122,000 to 180,000 hatchery and natural area adult spawners. Here's that enough Sacramento River Falls Chinook will return every year. Moving down to the Klamath River Falls Chinook, the conservation objective here requires an escapement goal of 40,700 adult spawners in natural areas. And again, this just ensures that enough Klamath River Falls Chinook return. Moving down, the California Coastal Chinook, which is ESA listed as threatened, and again, ESA stands for Endangered Species Act. Conservation objective here requires that the Klamath River Falls Chinook ocean harvest rate of age four fish does not exceed 16%. And finally, we have the Sacramento River Winter Chinook, which is ESA listed as endangered. And the conservation objectives for the SAC Winter first restricts the opening and closing dates for sport and commercial fisheries south of Point Arena and has minimum size limits that are in effect. Additionally, there's no salmon fishing permitted in the ocean between mid-November through March. And finally, there's a maximum ocean fishery impact rate on age three Sacramento River Winter Chinook of 15.4% this year. Moving on to slide seven, this slide shows the northern two-thirds of California and the four management zones for ocean salmon. Starting in the north, we have the Klamath Management Zone, and that area stretches from Horse Mountain north to the Oregon-California border. From Horse Mountain to Point Arena is known as the Fort Bragg Management Area, and this area does include Shelter Cove. From Point Arena to Pigeon Point is known as the San Francisco Management Area, and all areas south of Pigeon Point are known as the Monterey Management Area. Now, the map doesn't show the southernmost part of the state because the majority of the salmon fishery occurs north of Point Conception, which is located approximately 40 nautical miles northwest of Santa Barbara. So moving on to slide eight, here we're looking at the proposed salmon regulations for state waters for April of 2014. The Klamath Management Zone will be closed during the month of April. From Horse Mountain to Point Arena, the season is proposed to be open from April 5th through 30th with a minimum size limit of 20 inches and a bag limit of two salmon per day of any species except coho. And from Point Arena south, the season is to be open from April 5th through the 30th with a minimum size limit of 24 inches and a bag limit of two salmon per day of all species except coho. And the retention of coho salmon is prohibited in all ocean fisheries, both recreational and commercial. So moving to slide nine, so here we're looking at the possession limit change regulations that are to be adopted today. And at your October 2013 meeting, the commission was presented with four options for changing the current ocean salmon possession limit regulations. And of those four options, the commission directed the department to include options one and three in the initial statement of reasons for 2014 ocean salmon sport regulations. So just to review options one and three, options one is status quo and states that only one daily bag limit of salmon may be possessed. Option three states that no more than two daily bag limits may be possessed when on land and on a vessel in ocean waters no person shall possess or bring ashore more than one daily bag limit. And I would like to point out that the Commission has received substantial public comment on this possession limit change regulation. In the past week, the Commission has received approximately 60 emails, all in support of an increase in the possession limit. So moving on to slide 10, here we'll take a look at the range of alternatives for the May through November 2014 recreational fishery in state waters. For the Klamath Management Zone in the north, the season may be open various dates ranging from May 1st through September 7th. Minimum size ranges from 20 to 24 inches, and the bag limit is 2 salmon per day of all species except coho. From Horse Mountain to Pigeon Point, the season is open various dates ranging from April 5th through November 9th. Minimum size ranges from 20 to 24 inches, and the bag limit is 2 salmon per day of all species except coho. And for the area south of Pigeon Point, the season is open April 5th through October 5th. Minimum size limit will be 24 inches, and the bag limit, again, is 2 salmon per day of all species except coho. And again, the retention of coho salmon is prohibited in all ocean fisheries. Moving on to slide 11, let's take a look at the next steps in the ocean salmon regulatory cycle. First up, we have the Pacific Fishery Management Council public hearing in Santa Rosa that takes place on March 25th. At this hearing, they'll review the federal regulatory alternatives that are in effect on or after May 1st, 2014. From April 5th through the 10th, the Pacific Fishery Management Council meets in Vancouver, Washington, to adopt the final federal regulations for ocean salmon this year. And finally, from April 16th through the 17th, the Fish and Game Commission meets in Ventura to adopt final state regulation. And with that, that concludes my presentation.
Barry, this is Sankey. So what I didn't hear, did the department have a preferred recommendation on the possession limits, option one or three?
The department worked with LED to craft the regulatory language for subsection E, and we believe that the way that the regulatory language is structured, that it would be okay.
Okay, so the reason I ask is depending on my motion. So the department proposed the season and bag limits, and is your proposal in option three on the possession limit?
Yes.
Okay, that's why. Just for the record, I want to make that clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Sankey. Thank you, Barry. Do any of the commissioners have any questions about Barry's presentation?
I want to wait till after we hear public comment, Mike.
Okay.
I have no comments. Thank you.
Great.
Jackie?
No comment.
All right.
One question for, maybe it's for Marcy. Remind me, and forgive my poor memory, but remind me, the autoconformance discussion doesn't affect salmon. Is that correct, or does it?
It does, but not in this package and not at this time. We're working on the auto-conform question for the species groups individually. So we'll be taking a look at auto-conform for salmon here in the next few months to see if we can develop a package to put in front of you for later this year.
Okay, thanks.
And as a reminder, the commercial regs by statute are auto-conformed already. Commercial salmon. With that, Mr. President, I could start calling public speakers on this agenda.
Yes, that'd be fine. Thank you, Sankey.
All right, I'll start here, and then I'll work my way through the four locations. I have one speaker on salmon, George Osborne. Can we make a spot for folks? Yeah. Thanks, God.
Good morning, Mr. President, Commissioners. George Osborne, representing the Coastside Fishing Club. Getting confused. Thank you, Jim.
Remember your clients, George.
I have a number of them, Mr. President. Thank you for that reminder.
I think George will remember him during billing time.
COSIDE strongly supports option three and appreciates the effort that the commission has gone through and the department to get us to this stage. And again, we support option three and appreciate your support for that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, George. I'll then proceed to Monterey. Do we have any speakers in Monterey?
Negative. No speakers here, Sankey.
All right. Do we have any speakers in Santa Barbara?
Yes, we do. Paul Weakland.
Go ahead, Paul.
Commissioners, Paul Weakland. I'm questioning the validity and accuracy of these surveys. My training has dictated that figures lie and liars figure, and it's hard to assume that these calculations are absolutely verifiable. How do you guarantee this? In the past, we'd always have a percentage of error or chances of mistakes in the numbers. This we are lacking and gives us pause. Can we really be confident that this is precise and exact? My other thing is the salmon hatchery swindle and scam that's going on. You know, the reality is that you're committing an environmental terrorism, ecological sabotage, and crimes against nature for not believing in and realizing the Trojan gene and the fouling of the genetic reservoir and the gene pool of our natural species. That is all.
Thank you, Paul. Any other speakers in Santa Barbara?
No, there are none.
All right. In our final location, Arcata?
Sankey, no. The four public speakers who are here are speaking on another matter.
Okay. And what about Culver City?
We now have two speakers who would like to talk on another subject when you get around to it.
Okay. Thank you. With that, Mr. President, we have taken all public speakers on salmon and ready for a motion if you so choose or discussion.
Great. Any Jim, did you have a comment or anybody else?
I just would make the proposed motion that Salty's going to read.
All right. I have a suggested motion, Mr. President.
Please, go ahead.
The Fish and Game Commission hereby adopts the April 2014 recreational fishing regulations for ocean salmon and ocean salmon possession limit reflected in option three as recommended by the department.
So moved.
I have a movement by Jim Keller.
Second.
Second by Richard Rogers.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'm going to do a roll call. Mr.
Yeah, please,
Mr. Keller?
Aye.
Jackie Carmerson Hosler?
Aye.
Sorry about that. President Sutton?
Aye.
Commissioner Richard Rogers?
Aye.
All right, unanimous vote. Thank you very much.
Did you just bring Jackie a Congress?
Yeah,
congratulations.
I got tongue-tied. We look forward to her work in Congress.
Well, I understand that actually President Sutton is starting to call himself President Obama, but that's all right.
Great leader to you, thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was Grand Wazir.
All right.
Sankey, do we need to discuss the Barry touched on the May to November alternatives? I think we'll revisit that obviously at our commission meeting next month. Do we need any further discussion of those or guidance to the department now?
Well, I think that'd be a good question for Marcy or Barry. Is are you looking for guidance, or do any of the commissioners have any thoughts on the both?
Hey, it's Marcy. I'll just offer that at this stage, the council has put out three alternatives for public review that include kind of this range of recreational alternatives that Barry has identified on. Unlike last year, they're not looking at the prospect of any closed days of the week. And that was based on an improved condition with the situation on Sacramento winter run Chinook. So the range of alternatives really is now limited to what you see there in slide 10, the opening season dates and closing dates, as well as the size limit alternatives that you see in the chart.
All right. Thank you, Marcy. So it sounds like I'm not hearing any particular thoughts or directions at this point.
No.
unless some earth shattering happens at the March 25th FMC.
Yeah.
Right.
So I have a question, Sonke.
Sure.
I was wondering if Marcy could enlighten us about what she expects to happen at that March 25th PFNC meeting in Santa Rosa.
Yeah, the March 25th meeting is a public hearing that the council conducts annually to take testimony on these three alternatives that they've put out for public review. Remember that these alternatives include both the sport and the commercial fishery options, and also there are options there for activities in all three of the West Coast states. So it's kind of a touring roadshow by the council hearing officers to take testimony all the way from Washington all the way south to Santa Rosa. So I don't think I really expect a whole lot to come out of that hearing. The more important decision-making piece comes in April at the PFNC meeting in Vancouver, when we will act to make the final decision on the seasons and dates and time periods. So we'll be taking that testimony summarized by the council staff and considering it in the decisions that are made there during the week of April 5th.
And we will then, at the April 16th meeting, Ventura, make our decisions, correct?
Right.
All right.
Thank you, Marcy.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a one-day meeting.
Yeah, it's a one-day meeting. So unless there's anything else, I think, Mr. President, we're ready to move to the public forum.
Yeah, any other questions on salmon? Great. Go ahead, Sonke.
All right. Public forum are for items that are not otherwise agendized. It sounds like, Mr. President, we don't have a lot of speakers, so I'm assuming 3 minutes per person. Of course, encouraging people to be as concise as possible. But that's your call, Mr. President. All right. So I will start here, and I will first call Barbara West.
Good morning, everyone. As you know, my name is Barbara West, and I've submitted written comments electronically and a paper copy to Sonke.
Oh, I'm sorry. And who do you represent, anybody, or just an individual?
Individual.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. For distribution to all of you. I am an individual, but I'm also an attorney. I've done a lot of research into the cases and code sections, so I strongly recommend that you not just count the letter in one camp or another, for or against, but actually read the letter. This letter is in favor of listing the gray wolf as endangered. The commission is charged with listing a species as threatened or endangered if it determines that species continued existence is in serious danger. That's your statutory requirement. The California Endangered Species Act defines endangered species as a native species of a mammal which is in serious danger of becoming extinct throughout all or a significant portion of its range. The Court of Appeal of California for the Third District has held that the term range, as used in the Act, refers to the California range. That species, California range. The Department of Fish and Wildlife satellite records show that a collared wolf by the name of OR7 was in California February 5th. He was also here January 11th, 12th, and 13th. He's been here the first 3 months of 2013 and all of 2012 and the last 4 days of 2011. It's self-evident that the intermittent presence of one member of a species could not make that species more endangered, as that term's defined in the Act and interpreted by the Court of Appeal. Some may argue that listing the gray wolf in California is legally inappropriate because the gray wolf is functionally extinct because there's a lack of a breeding population. First, not all wolves are radio collared, so it's possible that we have more than one gray wolf in California and have breeding pairs. Second, more dispersing wolves are expected to enter the state within the next 10 years. Third, the Act does not require a resident breeding population before its protections are to be implemented. for such interpretations in conflict with the fundamental purpose of the law. The Act declares and affirms that it's the intent and policy of the state to conserve, protect, restore, and enhance the endangered species. Webster's defines restore to mean to bring back into existence. Thank you.
Thank you. Karen?
Yes. I'm Karen Jock, and I'm representing myself and grateful to be able to testify here because I can't make it to Ventura. So California once had a thriving wolf population. Like wolves everywhere else in the upper 48, they were exterminated. But in the last 2 years, California has had a part-time wolf, OR7. We have plenty of wolf habitat, and OR7 brings the hope that we will again have wolves. But he and the other wolves that follow him badly need protection. Too many hunters want to kill wolves for the pure pleasure of doing so or because they hate them. Too many livestock owners refuse to consider non-lethal means of protecting their herds and flocks, even though those methods have been demonstrated to work. I fear for OR7 or any other wolf every time they step across the border into our state. OR7's range already includes California. Your commission needs to act now to protect him and the wolves that will come after him or may already be here. Your commission voted to protect wolverines when none had been confirmed in the state for 50 years and condors when there were none in the wild. If your commission can do that, it can certainly vote to protect wolves when we already have one spending a lot of time here and more on the way. This issue has been very politicized at the federal level, and Interior has made recommendations against science. We don't know how that will finally turn out, but I'm asking your commission to follow the best science and to act now to protect and adopt wolves in California as an endangered species. Thank you.
Thank you. George Osborne.
Good morning again, Mr. President, Commissioners. George Osborne, representing the Coastside Fishing Club. I've submitted a letter to the commission this morning. I'm not going to read the entire letter, but a couple of points I'd like to make while you're all assembled here. We'd like to ask that you would consider this letter as a renewal of the Coastside Fishing Club petition for changes to the regulations governing the recreational take of Dungeness crab. The commission last had this issue before it on December 11, 2013. Wherein Dr. Schumann said that Coastside's requested changes, regulatory changes, would be referred to the Dungeness crab task force. We have made the point with the commission before, and I think the commission recognizes that while the department wants to take this to the Dungeness crab task force, certainly the commission is not obligated to move in that direction. So Coastside requests that the commission conduct a separate, independent process that will be more open and inclusive, we believe, for recreational anglers. The recreational representatives then on the Dungeness crab task force can provide their input directly to the commission in a timely manner. Without Fish and Game Commission action, it may be November of 2018 before recreational anglers see the common sense regulatory changes they have sought now since 2013, and we would ask the commission to involve itself in this matter. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you, George. I will now move to Arcata with Commissioner Hoffler-Karmason, not Congressman. And just so you know, if you hear the bells tolling, that means your time is up. That's what that sound will be. So with that, Jackie, I will ask if you could call their individuals individually by name and get that started.
Yes, I'd be happy to. I would like to go to our first speaker, Nataline DeLapp, and if you would give us your affiliation.
Great. Thank you. My name is Nataline DeLapp, and I work with the Environmental Protection Information Center, also known as EPIC. I'd like to thank the commissioners for the opportunity to provide comments regarding the petition to list the gray wolf as endangered under the California Endangered Species Act. EPIC urges the commission to list the gray wolf as endangered under the California Endangered Species Act. The state of California must create laws and regulations that will provide effective and enforceable protections for wolves that we know are and will continue to displace into California. California is wolf country. There are tens of thousands of miles of suitable habitat and substantial wild ungulate populations to support wolves. We must celebrate the return of this native species by proactively creating state laws that protect colonizing wolves while at the same time developing multi-stakeholder plans to resolve wolf conservation and management issues. EPIC will be submitting additional written comments at the April meeting in Ventura, and I'd like to thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Catherine?
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Catherine Gruenthal. I'm a senior in environmental policy here at Humboldt State University in Arcata. I'm also an advisor with the National Wolf Watcher Coalition, and I'm a wolf advocate. Working for mediation is going to be my next step. I want to find mediation between humans and wolves. For coexistence. I also want to begin working on non-lethal deterrence that will benefit both our wolves and our livestock owners. We will have wolf packs within Northern California within the next decade, and I believe probably sooner. We need to be proactive in listing our wolves as endangered species, not only to protect our wolves, but our livestock owners. If we do less than that, we fail as stewards, and we also fail our livestock owners. A new wolf has been dispersed from one of the packs in northeastern Oregon and has traveled 200 miles west to Mount Hood near Portland, and this area is 300 miles north of OR7's current territory. Because wolves can move up to 30 miles a day, it would be feasible that this wolf would be able to reach the territory for OR7 within a week. Males are normally not paired or bonded. However, with two lone dispersed males, that is a possibility. This wolf has not been sexed as of yet. If this is a female, the probability of having wolves moving into Northern California is indeed great. There are many deterrents that livestock owners can use, and I am considering a program for internship for college students to work with ranchers to introduce non-lethal deterrents and to work with the ranchers so that they understand there are options there. So again, hunters and livestock men, there are always compromises that we can make that will benefit both sides. So I thank you for listening to me today, and I appreciate you being here for us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any more speakers?
Yes, we have two more, Sonke.
All right.
Hello, good morning, everybody. My name is Emily Arsbold, and I'm speaking as an individual, but I am a senior wildlife and political science student at HSU here. And I'd like to say that the gray wolves do deserve protection in California under the California Endangered Species Act for many reasons, including one, that there is at least one wolf in California for part, if not all, of the year. That's the OR7 we've been talking about all day, along with many other wolves that are not radio collared that could very possibly be in our state already or will be coming soon. Two, since there are wolves here, they deserve our protection because they are native to this state and they were only gone due to extirpation by humans. Number three, without the protection, their long-term survival and population recovery is unlikely. Four, the benefits of wolves to their ecosystems has been proven by many studies. Five, the coexistence of ranchers and farmers and the wolves is quite possible, and non/less lethal methods to deal with the wolves have been shown to be as effective, if not more effective, than the lethal methods. And six, healthy wolf populations will not decrease the number of other game species significantly or to the point that human hunters will not be able to also hunt them. Like the other speakers have said today, legally it makes sense to protect the wolves, and there's also a very good possibility that we can coexist with them as long as we educate the public and that they have the legal protection under the California Endangered Species Act. Thank you very much for being here this morning and allowing this public comment.
Thank you.
And we have one more, Sonki.
All right, thank you, commissioners. Thank you, everyone. My name is Gary Graham Hughes, and I work as the Executive Director of the Environmental Protection Information Center, EPIC. We very much appreciate this opportunity to provide comment. The fact that there's a meeting teleconference here in Arcata where we can provide comment is spectacular, and it's very congruent with our interest in environmental democracy. EPIC supports listing of the gray wolf under the California Endangered Species Act. Have examined the recommendation to not list that was provided the commission by the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. We find that their conclusions to suggest that the commission take a major detour from established law and previous decisions to not serve the commission in its best interest. The job of the commission is to maintain consistency with previous actions and to make scientifically founded and legally defensible decisions. The listing of the gray wolf under the California Endangered Species Act will uphold this notable tradition. Our organization will remain engaged on this issue with the commission. We will be providing more comments in a timely manner. I do want to close, though, just by placing emphasis on the tremendous opportunity that this is to be able to provide comments from a teleconference meeting in Arcata. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Is that it for Arcata?
Yes, it is, Sonki. Thank you.
Okay, we'll move next to Monterey. Commissioner Sutton.
Good morning again. The members of the public have left the room, so no public comment, no public forum comment from here.
Okay, then we'll move to Santa Barbara. Commissioner Rogers.
Santa Barbara. Okay. The first speaker, go ahead, Margaret.
My name is Margaret Covey. Good morning. And I am just joining the voices of the other people who have spoken on behalf of the wolf population. I'm encouraging the listing of wolves as endangered under the California Endangered Species Act. Thank you for the opportunity for me to speak.
Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret. Second speaker, Paul Wiegman.
Commissioners, Paul Wiegman, I'd like to request again the reopening of the harvesting of abalones in the counties of San Francisco, San Mateo, Santa Cruz, Monterey, San Luis Obispo. We know that there are large numbers of harvestable abalones in these areas, yet you are not allowing the people of the state of California to access their resource, even though there would be no hindrance or bother or chance of elimination of these species in those areas. We know the mismanagement of abalone has been readily acknowledged on all spaces, that when the all-inclusive environmental document on abalone came up for release, it was ultimately trashed right away. And then a new process, CEQA, California Environment Quality Act, took over, and it took 5 years after their environmental document was completed, yet the CEQA process took over, to finish their abalone recovery and management plan that we're under now. And so a lot of questions are in the abalone recovery and management plan in the back, I know for a fact because I asked many of them. But rather than answer all the questions, which you still haven't up to this date, you're going to change the ARNP now. Oh, we're going to look at the numbers again. Remember early on, figures lie, liars figure. So anybody that keeps pointing to these numbers and want to manipulate them, we know what kind of person that is. We have a document that went through great scrutiny at the time, but now, we're a little more refined. We've got to manipulate it even more now. Just open it up. The abalone recovery management calls for the end of the moratorium in these areas. And the six alternatives that you could choose that are already in the document are readily suffice, and that's what needs to be done. And also, if we're going to bring back any species that have been limited from California for any time, let's do the symbol on our flag, be a real Californian, and have to avoid the grizzly bears out there as well. That is all.
Thank you, Paul. Is that it from Santa Barbara?
Yes, that's it from Santa Barbara. Unless,
all right.
Mike, you want to say anything? Hang on just a moment. Yes, I do have one more speaker.
This is Mike McCorkle. I'd like to just say something here on your upcoming next commission meeting. I think you're going to hear a report from the lobster committee.
Mike, and, say who you're representing for the record, would you?
Well, I'm representing the non-transferable permittees. And so far, the lobster committee doesn't want to deal with the non-lobster transferable permittees. They want to just get rid of them and have them be non-transferable. And I've heard in the past a couple commissioners that have made a statement that they thought that all permits should be transferable. And you see now that the Dungeness crab permit is transferable, where they had seven different tiers and the tier seven was non-transferable, it is now transferable. And so when these people in the lobster committee give you their report, they're not speaking for the non-transferable permittees, because so far they don't even want to listen to them. They just say, nope, you guys are out, that's the way it goes. So the non-transferable permittees are going to speak up, but so far they haven't got a chance. So they, you may hear this at the very last minute when you're asked to vote on the lobster management plan. Until then, I can't say what's going to happen, because every time I bring it up, they say, no, nope, 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 we're not going to hear that now. We don't want to talk to you. This is basically the transferable permittees that are saying that. And it's just a common thing where I'm in and you're out. And there's 22 non-transferable permittees that are fishing this year. Some of them have fished for 30 years or more. And they fish every year, but they didn't land the right amount. So we have an idea of what we'd like to see. It's just we're not seem like not being able to transfer that our idea to this committee, because they don't accept that at this time. We're open to coming to the committee meeting anytime, and let's sit down and talk about it. So I'm just, that's what I'd like to say, that when you hear the report, it's not involving the non-transferable permittee.
Thank you, Mike. Sankey, we have no more here at Santa Barbara.
All right, thank you. And our final location, lovely Baldwin Hill Scenic Overlook Ranger Station. And Mr. Betts, do we have any speakers there?
Yes, Sankey, we have two speakers, and we'll start with Tim Vaselli. Tim?
Hi, good morning, everybody. My name is Tim Vaselli, speaking about the wolves, and I am representing myself. And, of course, the wolves deserve protection under the California Endangered Species Act, the same way they deserve protection, or to have protection reinstated and strengthened in the states where it's already been stripped. In these states, there's a hate and a greed-driven bloodbath currently happening, which makes it all the more urgent to give these magnificent beings a safe haven to come home to as they try to escape this insanity. I recently retired after 32 years in public safety serving as a firefighter paramedic. Our mission was to protect life, property, and the environment. I took it seriously then, and I take it seriously now. I was hardwired to help and not hurt, to protect and not destroy. Over the course of more than three decades, I developed the kind of profound respect for life that often happens when you see how truly fragile and brief it is. You also really see how genuinely precious it is. That respect became all-encompassing when I realized that it all matters. All of life matters. To think otherwise is too self-limiting. Look, wolves are here in this country because they're supposed to be here, or they wouldn't be here. They were here long before any of our ancestors came here. They are essential to the health of our wilderness, or once again, they wouldn't be here. And what should be treated as a welcome return is, in fact, our wilderness trying to heal itself. This is their home, and I just don't understand the sick impulse to drive native populations away, sometimes all the way to extinction. It's a dangerous game of God that's played. But here is California's opportunity to right a heinous wrong. Here is our chance to be the grown-up in the room. It's a role that seems to fit our state. To be the voice of sanity and reason, to grab the moral compass and show by example that the way forward isn't down a road of fear and ignorance, it's on a road of respect. I also have an unquestionable love of this country, but the real one, not the one defined by strip malls and fast food restaurants. That's not where our soul is found or felt. It's in our wilderness and its wildness. at least what's left of it. A great many of us love this and hold it in awe and admiration. We celebrate it and we don't fear it. And we don't want it tamed by beating it into a bloody submission. We should welcome our returning wolves with open arms and not loaded ones. And with that, I'd like to end with a quote by the brilliant Dr. Albert Schweitzer, when he said, until he extends the circle of compassion to all living things, man himself will not find peace. I think he knew what he was talking about. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Yes, next speaker is Susan Hahn.
Yes. Hi, my name is Susan Hahn, and I'm just here representing myself. I feel like most of the speakers did a great job of explaining many, many reasons to protect the wolves. I'm sorry, I just got so emotional here.
You want to end it?
So I just want to say thank you very much for listening, and you have the opportunity to make a difference and to protect the wolves. I think that if most citizens knew what was really going on, they would probably speak up and protect the wolves, but most people I've spoken with are just unaware of the situation. And I know that there's a place for everything, and especially our wild and our wilderness, and it's getting smaller and smaller and extinct, and you're in a position to completely protect and make a difference. So I hope you will take all the science information and hear everyone out and make the best decision that you can. Thank you.
Thank you. And is that the final speaker?
Yes, Sankey, that's it for Culver City.
And if I may, Sankey, I would like to congratulate Ms. Hahn for the eloquence of her passion.
Yes. Thank you. And I would also like to give a special thanks to Mr. Bud Betts, a DFW volunteer who graciously went up to the ranger station and made that site available. I appreciate that a lot. So with that, Mr. President, I have I need to summarize public comment and ask the commission to consider direction on two of the items. So for the record, we will include the public comments on the wolf petition in the administrative record, and we look forward to further discussion at your April 16th meeting in Ventura, where you will consider taking action on the issue on the wolf listing. You had Mr. McCorkle speak to concerns about non-representation of non-transferable permittees in the lobster. Again, as a reminder, we're at the initial we're in the input stage of the lobster FMP. The commission has a meeting of the Marine Resources Committee on March 24th in Sacramento, and that is on the agenda is an update on the FMP for lobster, and that would be a perfectly appropriate time for people to provide that kind of comment and input. But there'll be many more as the year goes. And then you have two requests for, you've petitioned two actions that you need to give staff some direction. Of course, Mr. Weakland's perennial request to open Abalone south of San Francisco. I will assume you prefer not to take action on that unless I hear otherwise. And then the final one was Mr. Osborne requested a independent and apparently parallel evaluation of the sport D-crab recommendations co-site submitted. And so I need some directions, if any, from the commissioners on that one.
Thank you, Sankey. Let me just say one thing on the wolf issue. I want to commend my fellow commissioners the cover memo to the status review that was authored by Chuck Bonham of the department. I found that cover memo extremely helpful in as a preface to the status review itself, because the wolf petition presents some unique challenges, some unique legal issues. It's a listing petition for a species that's been extirpated in California for a very long time. That presents some interesting challenges that at least we in our brief time on the commission haven't necessarily dealt with before. So, Chuck, I would recommend that everybody study that cover memo carefully in addition to the status review.
All right. Mr. President, any direction on either the abalone south of San Francisco issue or the Dungeness crab recreational regs review. Hearing none, Mr. President, you may adjourn the meeting.
Any other questions or comments from the commissioners before we adjourn? Thank you all, and I hope to see as many of you as possible at the Marine Resources Committee meeting on Monday in Sacramento. We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.